Another beautiful day here on Drop the Subject with Allie and Dr. James Simmons, nurse practitioner, who, when he is not here on the airwaves with me, he is saving lives, many lives. He is a first responder. I have a question for you right out the gate that is not medical related, Dr. James. I've been already perusing the internet for holiday shopping. It seems a tad early, but I think Prime Day got me in the mood because Prime Day is usually something that happens in July. It's supposed to be sort of like a sub out for a Black Friday. They're like, we haven't had Black Friday in a while. Let's make Prime Day a thing. Right. And you're like, everyone's just like, okay, just give me a reason to buy AirPods for $20 off and I'll do it. So, of course, we're looking around, and then also Katie, my wife's family, is planning, you know, when their Thanksgiving and Christmas celebrations are going to be, when we're coming up there, and if we're coming up there, and all that good stuff, right? So we started talking about gifts, and we never know what to get for my parents or her parents. Katie's aunt suggests that we get an Alexa for Katie's dad, and I thought to myself, her dad is probably knows less about technology than any person I've met ever. He you know those commercials that are like, you know, when you become your parents and they're teaching the old people technology? Like, it's like that. It's, yeah. It's like someone saying, I don't have a mute button. I don't know. You know, doesn't even know how to save numbers in the iPhone.
Oh,
that's,
my gosh.
That's where we're at.
Whoa.
Like, knows how to turn it on.
Which is a start.
Know how to turn it off.
Right. It's the same thing, basically.
He was wondering why one day that he wasn't getting his phone calls, and it's because his phone was on silent, and he didn't know how to undo silent.
Oh, Bubba.
So that, yeah. And he's just an old-fashioned guy, and he really has no interest in learning this stuff. Uh-huh. But whenever we visit, we end up being the IT team who has to fix a laundry list of problems that have piled up while we were away.
Right, right,
of course. To get this man an Alexa would be a full-time job for us. That is such an incredible investment in time, energy, to explain this robotic device, this talking assistant that will now be living in your home. And I thought to myself, do you think this is the equivalent of giving parents really loud Christmas gifts for their kids?
Like super annoying gifts?
Yes.
That you're like, I can't believe you got my child. You know, like when you're the cool uncle or aunt and you give someone
it's like a drum set.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the equivalent for old people?
Or there's a motivation behind this. The motivation could be, all right, and this is, you said Katie's dad?
Yes, my wife's dad.
Yes. Doesn't know technology at all, but Katie's mom really wants him to start using it. So if you guys set up an Alexa and connect it to everything, connect it to Amazon, connect it to his phone, connect it to his email, connect it to everything, then it's super simple. He can just say, hey, Alexa, order some more milk and eggs. Then because you guys set it up flawlessly, 2 hours later, the milk and eggs show up. Or, hey, Alexa, email my daughter-in-law, Allie. And then Alexa says, what would you like to say? And then he sends you a really, really sweet email. And then he hasn't had to fool with technology, but he's more connected to you guys. See, maybe it's a good thing.
All right. Maybe in theory, that like in your brain, in your happy-go-lucky, there are no problems with that brain.
Oh, no.
It sounds like a great idea.
I think this is going to be a nightmare for you. But
I thought about this with the printer. They got a printer, and they set up the printer because at first it was like, we can't print anything. I don't know what's going on. I guess we'll just quit our jobs. It was like, no, let's get you a printer. And we set up the printer.
Ruining my life.
Then the cable guy came and reset the Wi-Fi password, and the printer stopped working for 6 months.
Oh, it was just of course.
So as soon as we run into one roadblock, it's not let's fix the roadblock. It's let's run 180 degrees in the other direction and pretend this technology never existed.
And leave the roadblock for Allie, Katie to fix the next time. It does remind me of the ladder list. I have a similar list, though it is much more not technological. There we go. Mm-hmm. When I go home to one set of my parents, they have a ladder list. Everything in their house that requires a ladder.
Oh,
gets saved up for every 6 months. Every battery in the fire alarms, every everything, every dusting of the window, to all of that. Every 6 months, me and Chris and the ladder.
Oh, my goodness. A ladder list. I didn't think of that. I hope they are not listening so that they will not have that as an idea. All right. When we come back, more Drop the Subject. It's news from the right. What is going on in the far, far, far right wing of the universe? We'll get to it next.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject with Ali and Dr. James. You know, I think it's no secret that the politics on this station and on this show in particular lean a little bit into the left direction. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. James?
A little.
Right.
I mean, maybe we're moderate left. No, we're pretty left.
Yeah, we're pretty lefty. And
proud of it.
Yeah. And every once in a while, it's important because this station, Channel Q, says that they give everyone a voice. We check in with some voices on the far right, which is why every once in a while we do news from the right, where we say, OK, way off into the distance, we're on the left here. We look all the way across, way to the far depths of the right. What are they doing? Yeah, is anybody out there? Oh, yes, you are out there and you're very loud. So let's hear from... this is actually from rightwingwatch.org. This is an article about a televangelist by the name of Pat Robertson. And he reported on the 700 Club, which is a show of his, that God told him a few things about the election. Mainly that it's going to cause the end of days. And there are a few things that he says are reasons for this. He believes that Donald Trump will win re-election. I'm confused by what he really believes here, because I don't know if he's for Trump or anti-Trump. But he's basically saying God told him that Trump would be re-elected. And as a result, the world will fall into complete disarray. There was like a list of several things that he said would happen. And then we'll kind of talk about then we'll let him have his say. But what does he say in a nutshell, Dr. James?
And there, well, it's because it's not Donald Trump is elected and then bam, it's just the end of times. It's Donald Trump is elected. And then there's this laundry list of dominoes falling that will happen. So without question, Trump will win the election, but that will result in widespread civil unrest, which will then result in at least two assassination attempts on the president. And while America is engulfed in chaos, Islamic nations, oh yes, the right's favorite foe, Islam. Muslim nations will use this as an opportunity to attack Israel, but then they will be wiped out by God, meaning all Muslims will be wiped out by God, which will then lead to a remarkable time of peace.
Oh, no. Okay. But, I didn't finish that. Because I was wondering, I was like, where is the hellfire and the weird cockamamie, people swooping in and just slaughtering? Like, where is that? Because it seemed like, okay, this is going to cause some civil unrest. I'm like, yes, that's true. And then people are going to prey on us when we're weak. Other countries, yes, okay, that could definitely happen. When he's like, angels will swoop in and kill off Islam. I'm like, okay, now we've reached psychotic territory. I was waiting for
and
that shoe to
it.
Drop.
There's another shoe. Both shoes are dropping. Because after we have this remarkable peace, because God has gotten rid of all Muslims, the world will experience the actual Great Tribulation when an asteroid strikes the Earth and kills us all.
Oh, the asteroid. End. Oh, good old
good
asteroid.
Old asteroid.
This is a little bit of Pat Robertson, his prophecy and what Jesus told him. Take a listen.
The country will be torn apart. But you talk about Trump derangement syndrome, it's going to be horrible. Because already, without anything happening, we've got trouble in the streets. But there will be at least two attempts on the president's life. And it's going to be very difficult.
And you know what? Jesus told this to all of him, which I find so interesting that Jesus was like, all right, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you and only you. Civil disobedience.
I got something to tell you.
All right. This is long. It's very long-winded. But I'm going to explain this chain reaction and then stay with me at the end for the asteroid.
A lot of moving parts.
A lot of moving parts, Jesus. I mean, if this is all God's plan, it is a very overcomplicated plan.
I mean, right. And you would think, like, God's into doing things simply. I mean, we created the earth in 6 days, like, that we think we, this plan might not be quite so, you know, chaotic and dramatic. But I guess Pat Robertson has been talking to God for a long time, though, a long time. And I just often wonder, when these things don't happen that Pat Robertson says are going to happen, what do Pat Robertson's followers think?
Oh, you move on. Now God's telling me something else. Okay, so let's just forget about the past. It's like, you know, when sports announcers say this is definitely going to happen, and then the game completely goes the opposite way, and then they just move on and act like it's a brand new day and a brand new game. They never say a word about the past.
They never.
When we get back, let's go back over to the left. it's the GAMA after this.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject with Allie and Dr. James. I had a question for you, Dr. James, because you have a pager on you right now.
A pager and a phone and a phone pager. You got like all three.
Yes, you have a pager. You have all of it. All the ways that people can communicate with you, which they need you. They need to talk to you about all kinds of things. But do you still do old-timey pager code? Because I had a pager for 2 weeks when I was in seventh grade, and all I did was text things like boobs and 143, and then I lost it. So is that still going on in the pager world? What's it like?
That is very, very funny. Did you tell people to hit you on the hip, too? That was what we always used to say. You never said that, hit me on the hip? Because you wore your pager on your hip?
Oh, hit me on the hip.
Hit me on the hip. Oh my God, we had pagers for forever. I remember having the longest conversation with my mom about the fact that I was not a drug dealer because I needed a pager. Like, she was like legit concerned about it.
Yeah, I think that pagers really are only still in existence because of nurses and drug dealers. Right. Is there anyone else?
I wonder if drug dealers actually still use pagers. So one of my hospitals has a very, very, very robust paging system, and it's really nice. And it actually, if you're at a computer, you can type in a page to someone and it sends it to them. So we don't use like abbreviations anymore, really. You get this long page that's like, hey, Dr. Simmons, I need you to see patient.
And is it like slowly scrolling across the pager?
You get to control it yourself. It's a vertical one. So you can see, you can scroll up and down really fast. It's actually kind of nice because then you just get the whole message. The other paging system is just like a page to my phone as a text. And it's just like, please call this number. And you kind of don't really know what it's about and like who's paging you and like whatever. So you just, it's like a shot in the dark. Cause sometimes when you get a page, they're like just an FYI. And it's really lovely because then you're like, great, I know that this test result came back. I can address it in an hour because that's appropriate. But the other system is just like, call this number now. And you always sort of get this like, oh my God, it's an emergency, right? And you're usually calling and you're like, you know, the nurse is like, the patient didn't want to take the Tylenol.
Oh my
God. Which they have to tell me.
Who does want to take Tylenol?
Right.
I guess
right.
When you get older, I want to take it all the time. But
you're like, give me all the Tylenol.
Does it get annoying? You must get used to wearing a pager at all times. I mean, it would freak me out. It would make me feel so nervous. I wouldn't be able to sleep. I remember when my wife was on call, she would be able to go to sleep and then she'd wake up and have to go see somebody because they were having a crisis. And that kind of thing just gives me consistent anxiety. I would feel like I could never have a drink or smoke a doob. What do you feel like you can't relax?
Well, luckily I am one of those people who I have very set days that I'm on call like that. So definitely those days, obviously there's no edibles or drinking on those days for sure. I'm also a person who sleeps really well, right? This is well documented here on Drop the Subject. And so I just turn the ringer on my phone or the pager super loud and I sleep with both of them next to my head. So if I'm ever like dozing off or whatever, like if I'm on call overnight, if I'm dozing, they go off and they wake me up and I answer the pages and do whatever I need to do. And then I fall right back asleep.
So your husband doesn't get angry with you that the pages wake him up?
We have a 3-page rule. So sometimes when I'm on call at home, I don't have to go in. They're just like letting me know something or I need to give orders over the phone, but I don't actually have to go into the hospital. But if I've gotten 3 pages that don't require me to leave the house, I have to go sleep in the guest bedroom. Yes, get out, go. Because at that point, you just know they're just paging and paging and paging and paging and whatever. So then I have to go sleep in the other room. I'm sure partners of people who have ever been on call for extended periods of time totally get this. But he's a very light sleeper. And so I'm like, whatever, I got paged. Yep, that's okay that she didn't want to take the Tylenol. Let me know if you need anything else. Thanks, hang up. And then I just go right back to bed. Right. And whereas Chris is like, now I'm wide awake.
Oh my God, that would make me nuts. So I sort of have something similar where I have sort of a three snooze rule because my alarm goes off very early in the morning. It goes off at, the first one goes off at 3:45. And that one, I think, wakes her up, but it's like kind of pleasant. And then it starts getting louder. And so I can't, if it's like 4:15 and I still haven't, if I've done three snoozes, I get the stink eye, like, get the F out of bed. I'm not listening to another snooze.
I can't, right. I cannot do it. That is really funny. We are similar than that too. I can snooze.
Similar, but completely different. Because I'm not saving anyone's life.
Nothing. Well, I can snooze for hours.
Just wake up, 10-minute snooze. 10-minute snooze.
I can sleep in 9-minute increments. Yeah, for hours. Chris, first alarm. Bing! He's up. So same thing. Like if my snooze keeps going, he's like, I am going to stab you if you don't get out of bed.
Well, you know, I think that the person who invented the snooze button invented them for people like you and I who appreciate it. You know, I think that the snooze button gets a lot of negative feedback of just, you shouldn't be snoozing. You should just get up. Yeah. Well, you know what? Someone invented the snooze button for a reason. They invented it for people like us who don't like getting up and we want to feel like we're in control. It's the equivalent of you saying 5 more minutes, mom. That's what you're getting from the robot lady. So
that's exactly
just
what
appreciate it and don't take it for granted. We'll be right back with more Drop the Subject after this. Dr. John joins us next.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. I am Dr. James. That's Allie Johnson. And as we are joined every week with Dr. John Paul, who is an activist, an educator, a brilliant, brilliant mind, TED Talks and article quotes and all kinds of wonderful things. And we are so lucky to have Dr. John every week for our weekly wake-up call. And this week, Dr. John, oh boy, this one was very, very triggering for me. And I had to sort of stop and figure out why. It was as someone who sort of prides himself on being able to use my words, at least generally well, it was difficult for me to articulate this concept. So let me bring the listeners and everybody in. Senator Perdue, who has worked with Kamala Harris, Senator Kamala Harris, for 4 years now, last Friday, very intentionally mispronounced her name several times at a rally. Donald Trump also did it this past Monday, intentionally. You know, that Kamala, Kamakama, whatever, how do you say it? That Kamala Harris, it's Kamala. Is what Donald Trump said. Senator Perdue said something similar. This made my skin crawl, made me very, very angry. And I'm not someone who has a name that's difficult to pronounce. James Simmons is not difficult to pronounce. However, as a Black man, I knew what this meant and it made me angry. And I thought this is a perfect thing to ask Dr. John, why in the hell did this make me so angry?
So I think what made you angry about it, and we've talked about this before on the show. And I think that what folks sometimes miss is that microaggressions can take up and they can take different forms in so many different ways. And so what you were experiencing, what you were feeling is something that is well known to be a microaggression. And so there were two specific points that I wanted to make around this, specifically thinking about how in 2016, there was a very similar story to this. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a story that went viral over a young woman named Tora Shea. She follows me on social media, so shout out to her. But ultimately, she had tweeted out in 2016 that she had taken on a new job. And ultimately, at her new job, on her plaque, her name said Tora. It said Latour. That's her name. And a white gentleman across from her was like, what the hell? You know, basically, what does your name mean? How do you even say that? And so when she was trying to explain how to say her name, he basically said, all Black girls' names sound the same anyway, and kind of like dismissed her name. I want to be specific because he said it's all ghetto Black girls' name, right? So this notion that the way that her name was spelled in the way of how she said it. And she goes on, you know, to be very petty. And she called him a whole bunch of different names before he gets frustrated and was like, why are you calling me different names? And she was like, I have a hard time saying white men's names. You all have the same names and it's kind of hard to differentiate, right? Playing with this whole notion of how Black people's names are quote unquote hard to pronounce. the larger conversation, specifically coming out of a book in 2010 written by psychologist Gerald Wing Su, they argued that basically microaggressions, when we start talking about names, right, they're not only equally disruptive, but it's just a different way of discriminating against a person. You're ultimately saying your name doesn't need to be pronounced the right way because you don't matter to me. Like you being a Black woman or the way your name is pronounced, it doesn't matter. And I think that that's ultimately, it's just a overt way of basically being racist without really having to kind of own the fact that you're being racist and dismissive of how someone pronounces their actual name.
Well, and they're doing this intentionally and doing it unintentionally, mm-hmm. and both have different problems that get attached to that, right? So there's somebody who unintentionally mispronounces a name, but then also doesn't take the time to pronounce it properly or learn it properly. And there's that's own thing over there. What the president right. is doing is also very calculated and saying things like the China virus or mispronouncing mm-hmm. Kamala's name, things like that.
The Kung flu.
Yes, the Kung flu. Things like right. that he changes names on purpose to make digs and basically to do a little side high five to all the racists out there to be yeah. like, I got you, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just it's just an insult. And I think it's ultimately it's to not only prevent internalized racism, but it teaches, you know, this idea that someone's name is not worth being pronounced right. the right way. The person's not needed to be seen in their full actuality of their name.
Mm. Very, very interesting. Ethno-nationality. Ethno-nationalism, I think, is a concept that I heard come up when we talk about this as well. We have more with Dr. John Paul. We will say your name correctly after this. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q. It is your weekly wake-up call where we continue our discussion about race and racism. And equity and all of these things that certainly got a lot of attention this summer, much needed attention, but we need them to not fade away. We need to continue to have these conversations even when they're difficult. And what we started talking about in the last break was Senator Perdue and Donald Trump and several others, by the way, who very intentionally mispronounce Kamala Harris's name. Kamala is an Indian and Black woman, a vice presidential candidate, and a senator from the state of California. I think what's so striking, too, is that Senator Perdue has worked with Kamala Harris for 4 years. He knows exactly how to pronounce her name, and yet he's intentionally mispronouncing her name. So what comes up is not only microaggressions, but then also that this feels to me like a macroaggression. Like, mm-hmm. I am...
Yeah,
very
that definitely goes into the macro region. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, I think it does. Very intentionally being yes. like ethno-nationalist about this, right? Like your name is not important. The way to say your name is not important. And therefore, you are not important. And what is that, this onus around this, like this, it feels so simple. It's a name, but yet it's still so important, Dr. John.
Think about this idea about the ownership of a name, right? When you tell someone to pronounce your name the right way, you're basically saying, I want you to see me as a full person. I want you to see me and I want you to recognize who I am, the connection of my name, the history of my name, all these different parts, right? When we start talking about it. And I think about, you know, I think it's Uzo Adoba who talked about it when she was talking about how individuals going up through her name kept asking her, do you have a nickname or do you have something easier to say? And she was saying, if you can pronounce all of these French names, right, you can pronounce all of these names of these very quote unquote ethnic names from France or from Poland or from Switzerland, you can pronounce my name as an African woman. And I think that that's really what this conversation is about. It's this idea of it's really just honestly lazy for a person to say, oh, I can't right. say your name or I don't want to say your name right. No, you're ultimately, you're pushing this idea that you don't see me as a full person. You don't respect me enough to get my name right. And I think that's ultimately what's so frustrating. And then you really want to talk about it, right? The massage noir that's connected to it, that she is a Black woman, that she is a Black woman that is going for a high position. For someone to intentionally get her name wrong when you know her and you've seen her everywhere and you know what she's doing, you know what she's going for, there's a lot of misogyny that's connected to it. So her being a Black woman, you not getting her name right, specifically in this moment, moment in time, it's very, very pointed. But not only that, you're ultimately screaming that you don't respect Black women because you don't want to take the energy or you don't have the tenacity in yourself to want to get her name right. It's layered. And it does seem like, you know, why is Dr. John Paul always pulling all of these layers? Well, because racism and oppression, it's layered. All of it is layered and it's all intentional.
Also makes me think of names that, like, for example, somebody like Uzo Aduba or Lupita Nyong'o, do they feel like they need to have this instructional for people on how to say their name? Like, oh yeah, yeah, I know people mispronounce it all the time. It's said like, that, you know, you have to like come up with some kind of a lesson for people, and you feel like you have to go out of your way to make it easy for people to remember your name because no one will take the time themselves to do that.
Even for that, right? That's that labor, you know, when Black people, specifically Black women, say, I'm so tired. I think that that's really what that is. It's that labor of feeling like you have to explain something overly to someone when it's not that hard. Like, Allie, James, it's not that hard to say Kamala. Like, it's just not. Like, it literally, she has told you how to say it. It's really not that hard. I don't get it.
And the fact that she has to. I mean, there's this larger picture of like, the normalization of white names and the normalization of these different things, why she had to explain to us, it's like the punctuation with la afterwards, comma, la. Like the fact that she has to explain that as a whole speaks to the much, much, much larger issue, which of course, because we never do, we don't have enough time to talk about and bring up right now. Dr. John Paul, thank you again, as always, for our weekly wake-up call. You can find Dr. John Paul all over the socials at Dr. John Paul, spelled out J-O-N, Dr. John Paul, and at drjohnpaul.com. Dr. John Paul, thank you. Have a lovely week.
You too. Thanks, babe.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject presents News It or Lose It.
You heard that right. Your favorite segment in mine, News It or Lose It. I'm Dr. James. That's Allie Johnson. I have two headlines. I will read them to Allie Johnson, and she will decide whether or not you, Drop the Subject listeners, get to hear about it by newsing it, or we never speak of it again by losing it. Allie will repeat that process for me. Allie Johnson, are you ready?
Oui, oui.
Oh, oui, oui. Headline numero uno, 50 Cent endorses Trump because, of course he did.
Oh, no. No, I can't. I can't do it.
Hooray. Done and seen. Fine. Then you will not hear about 50 Cent, thank God. But you will hear about that you can now rent a private AMC theater for just $99.
Ah, yes, I do want to hear about this. If we can get a few people together, I think this is actually something that we should do as a station. All right, we'll hear about that in a moment. Here are your stories, James. 12-year-old finds $69 million old dinosaur fossil while hiking.
Oh, what? 69 million year old?
Whoa. I didn't even know there were that many years.
How far do the years go back? Yeah, let's do it. That 12-year-old just got himself free college.
All right. And then you will not hear about Chester the monkey, who is annoying and scaring neighbors in the Hawkins neighborhood. He's putting his little paws up skirts and things like that.
Chester.
We will not hear it. Chester, you stop it. You
keep
silly
your
monkey.
Paws to yourself. No means no, Chester.
Yes, especially even in the monkey world, okay? It's not different rules. You have to respect us. All right, go ahead, James. We'll talk about the theaters.
So I love going to the theaters. AMC is a theater chain with which we frequented. And of course, no one's been going to movies this year because of COVID-19. But now AMC is doing everything they can to try to stay in business, which I love. I hope other movie theaters follow suit. According to its website, for starting at just $99 plus tax, all the way up to $350, depending on the movie, you can privately rent out an entire theater for up to 20 people, which if you get the big bad theater, you can put 20 people in there, and if it's well ventilated and you're spaced out and everyone's still wearing their mask, I think this is actually kind of safe and totally smart. And Allie, I'm with your idea of let's maybe do it a Channel Q movie outing, because none of us have seen each other in the flesh in 8 months.
In 8 months. So I think that the entire staff of Channel Q would be about 20 people.
About 20 people. we could all
running
everyone,
this entire station.
Right. Sit in their little corners. Everyone wear your N95s, except for when you're shoving popcorn down your gullet. But that's what I really want to know. How does this work? Do you still get to order the concessions when you're there? And if you do, are they still ridiculously high priced? Or are they like, hey, right, you rented out a full theater, so like the first five popcorns are on us, you know?
Right. Or if you can get like some kind of food package. And if all 20 of you are there and all 20 of you are over the age of 21, can you booze it up for the movie as well?
Ooh, yeah, I hope so. You can booze it up at our favorite movie theater here in Los Angeles, which is why we go.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about this 12-year-old boy that I'm jealous of. His name's Nathan, and he's always wanted to be a paleontologist for as long as he can remember. And he was on a hike with his dad, and then he discovered he was in Canada in the Badlands of Alberta, because that's where, ooh, you go when you're a young paleontologist.
Prairie provinces, yes.
Sure. And he found a fossil. It was a humerus bone from the arm of a juvenile hadrosaur, which is a duck-billed dinosaur that lived 69 million years ago.
Damn.
Him and his dad, Dion, found the bone fragments in the area on a previous hike and thought that they might have washed down from farther up the hill. So they basically were chasing this dinosaur. And they found him. What do you... Now, and I've said before on the show, I am jealous of hiker discovers X, Y, and Z, because I hike my damn ass off and I never find anything except for coyote scat.
And so empty suitcases, or like half full suitcases. Yeah,
exactly. That was the coolest thing I ever found. And by the way, that's still there. The mystery has still not been solved. And I have not done anything about it since we talked. But maybe that's on me. I need to follow up. If I were, I mean, I would probably be trying to figure out where I was on the hike much before I'd be actually looking at the ground to see if there's a dinosaur fossil at my feet. So I guess that's my problem.
I also worry about being the person who's like, this is nothing, it's not a fossil, and just tossing it. And I'm just tossing like thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Right, worth of fossils and gold and diamonds and stuff. That would be my luck.
Yeah.
We have more Drop the Subject. No more than 2 minutes. Blah, 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 beep, bop, bop. None of that either.
Well,
no more than 2 minute of commercials. Don't go anywhere.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject. Did you enjoy that 2 minute commercial? Yes. I'm sure you did.
Commercial.
Since this pandemic started back in, well, I mean, of course, started in January and beyond, but when we started the lockdown process in March, you started getting a little more comfy cozy with your neighbors, probably. And we talked a while ago about annoying neighbors, but a new list, this fresh new list, James, of the most annoying neighbors, the top 10 list of the most annoying neighbors, has been rehashed and restudied. And after 8 months, let us take another look at some of the most annoying neighbors, the traits that they possess, and whether we have accumulated or experienced all 10 of these things since the beginning of lockdown.
Oh, I really like this because I believe that there are lots of opportunities for people to be super annoyed by the things that their neighbors are doing that they might not have otherwise been annoyed with. But because now you're there all the time and you're seeing it, like number 10 on the list, for instance, and we shall go backwards. Having landscaping or other items that obstruct a neighbor's view.
I've had landscaping issues, and I know that you have too, because we've been doing this show together for 8 months, and I can hear all of the landscaping that happens in your backyard and front yard and all of them.
Uh-huh. You can probably hear some of it that's going on right now. This is one of the things that has always weirded me out about LA, is I feel like zoning is like not a thing here. So in Chicago and Omaha and other places where I lived, it's gridded, right? And things are zoned business, zoned residential, and they don't really overlap. Here in LA, they're building like a big ass business or something right behind our backyard, even though I'm in the middle of a residential neighborhood. I don't know what the heck it is, but I think it's going to obstruct our view and it's going to really piss me off.
Okay, so you definitely have number 10. I have it as well. Numbers 8 and 9, I do not have. And these are the only ones on the list that I actually enjoy. Hearing loud sex and seeing someone walk around naked. I am sorry to say that all of the people in my complex, though they are annoying in their own way, they are not sexy in the sense that they're not having loud sex or walking around in the buff.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate, I guess. We don't really see many buff either. And if anyone's having the loud sex, it's probably us. So maybe we're the annoying neighbors other than the other neighbors annoying us, I guess.
I would rather be known, if I was going to be known as any kind of annoying neighbor, it would be that one.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Now, this is something I do have intimate experience with. Leaving notes on a neighbor's door instead of speaking face-to-face. But this could apply to the car, right, I suppose? Because my famous electric car parking spot note situation is not the only time that I have had notes left on my car. I have had notes left on my car where I park, like in the driveway for various reasons. Like,
wait, people leave that note on your car regularly?
Not regularly. It's happened once before. I think I cut someone off. And I think they followed me home and I didn't realize it would be my guess. And they left that and various other sundry things on a note. Yeah, it was not fun.
I tried to leave a note for my upstairs neighbor the first time I lived in LA, and they were a drug dealer and they did not take my note seriously. I think they rolled it up and smoked it.
Yeah, like, you can't have that, right?
All right, calling the cops on another neighbor. Yeah, that's douchey. Ooh. And has a lot of problems. Number five, leaving your children unsupervised. This I have definitely experienced, and I don't know what to do when children are just running rampant. And also, it seems that the children in my complex like to play this game where they just scream at the top of their lungs starting at 3 p.m. So that's a fun game that never seems to get old. Parking in parking spots that's not theirs. Ooh, that is frustrating.
Ooh,
number three, refusing to pick up after their pet. Yep, see that all over the place. Number two, being loud or noisy. And number one is, I had actually a neighbor who did this and it didn't bother me that much. Frequently intruding on the privacy of your own neighbor. Yes, like I had a bit of a drunk Kramer. Yeah, I had a female Kramer who lived across the street, and she was pretty awesome. She was a huge alcoholic though, and she was she was fun, but she needed
did she just it. Bust in like without knocking?
Oh yeah, she would bust in and she would no knocking. She would sit on the couch and then she would just like buy stuff online sometimes and be like, "Oh my god, you guys need this end table? I'm buying it right now." And we'd be like, "What are you doing?"
You're like, "Okay, thanks."
Yeah, her name was Kirsha and she drank Coors Light all the time, so we called her Kirs Light. Anyway, we will
hear. Shout out to you, Kirs Light.
Kirs Light.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Close up shop.
Drop the subject, Dr. James, Allie. We really do appreciate you listening. If you missed anything in the show, we have a podcast which you should go download, subscribe to, and turn on your notifications to. When you do that, when you go to radio.com, you will hear the wonderful, lovely items like that we have covered. Items like that we have covered. I was going to say items up for bid. Items up for bid from this show. News from the right, a very interesting news from the right. Pat Robertson has finally revealed for the 187th time exactly how the world will end, and it will happen on the initiation of Donald Trump winning re-election. We also talked about during the GAMA, what are the jobs that you think you could do better just because you're gay or lesbian? It was a very interesting conversation. We kind of had a awkward, interesting, random Ask the NP, but it was about Ask the NP getting paged all the damn time, which was super fun. Dr. John Paul joined us for our weekly wake-up call about the massage noir, about the racism, about the ethno-nationalism in mispronouncing people's names, like what Donald Trump is doing with Kamala Harris, and much, much more. Download that podcast at radio.com. And of course, follow us on social media. We love it when you do, at DTS Show.
Yes, and before we get out of here, thank you, James. We are going to share with you another thing that is being voted on that is real dumb, because all week long, we are sharing with you other things that you can vote on. And if you can vote on this, you can vote in the upcoming election. If you're not registered or if you need help voting, go to vote411.org. All of the information that you need is there. We encourage you to vote early and often. This petition.
No. Just vote once.
Okay.
Often's illegal.
Lather, rinse, repeat. Is that what it is?
I mean, if it often is like when they vote for us for like best midday radio show in the country, then you vote early and often for us. Okay. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate that. For this one, I don't want anyone claiming any sort of election fraud anywhere. So just vote once, please. Don't get in trouble. And as per usual, don't listen to Allie Johnson.
Yes, I think we all know that. All right. Change.org. Here's another petition coming through. People are voting and signing like crazy. This one has over 35,000 signatures and counting. Their next stop will be 50,000 signatures. And I think, what is it, 200,000 or something gets you a bill on the old ballot?
Yeah. I think you only need 100,000 signatures to run for president, I think. Something like that.
Oh, great. Okay. Then making Dr. Pepper the official soft drink of Texas should be a piece of cake. And that is what this vote is for. Dr. Pepper is a soda that I don't think will ever go away. In fact, there was a shortage of it about a month or two ago. I think they finally got some more. But this petition has been created in Waco, Texas, and nothing bad ever happened there. They say Dr. Pepper is the oldest major soft drink in the United States, and it should be the official drink of Texas, because once a Texan, always a Texan. So if you can vote on this, you can vote in the election. Am I right, Dr. James?
I mean, and if you do vote on this, which I'm sure you're going to go to change.org now and vote for, they're going to create a special collection of bottles. So now you have like Texas themed Dr. Pepper bottles, because if you didn't need anything else in your life, apparently what you need is Texas themed Dr. Pepper bottles. This is what we're saying. The atrocity of this, the ridiculousness of this, that people spend their time on, mean you can take that time later. Right now, spend that time on learning about what to vote on and actually voting. Chris and I actually sat down and went to lunch, and we read through all the propositions, and we read about all the judges, and we read about all the people, and we spent like
We
spent
that
like
is a tough one.
Hours. Yeah. And we filled out our little ballots and we dropped them off. It was great. Y'all can do it too.
Good. Yes. Good for you. I mean, this petition too, there are several paragraphs, and the amount of time that it takes you to even read through this and laugh, that is the time that you could spend learning about one of the judges, or reading about one of the propositions, or reading about one of the, an article that says pro or con against one of those propositions, because there's so much information out there. It's important that you learn about both sides of these things and then make an educated decision based on what you've learned. All right, we're going to get out of here. Tomorrow we have another show, and if you miss anything, download that podcast. We will see you tomorrow. We're talking to Dr. James. It's Dr. Jen.
That's me.
And Gay, but we're also going to talk to Dr. James, because that's how this works. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.